So, Alexis, how seriously did you consider being both the host and the guest on this podcast?
No, that is so good. Guys, I had to ask Landon to come in and host this podcast as a guest, but also he's not the guest because he's hosting because I wrote this week of curriculum.
Happy to be here. Yeah, Shift People, what's up? Your podcast music is so much more fun than ours.
It is really fun.
Yeah.
But that's kind of the point of Shift, right? To be more fun than everything else.
That is the... That's the vibe. Yeah, I was at men's ministry the other day, and I was just like sitting at this table, like kind of close to some freshmen, and like it just kind of hit me in that moment. I'm like, am I built for this? Like, I'm not on Shift team. I was like, maybe I don't know the vibes, but I just want to be one of the cool Shift kids. So maybe you'll adopt me at least for this week on the podcast.
This week you get to be adopted.
Excellent. Well, cool. This is what week for you guys?
This is week five.
Week five.
That's kind of crazy. That's like halfway.
Yeah. Yeah. Powering through the Gospel of John. So last week it was you and Rachel.
Mm-hmm. And the week before that, it was me and Rachel. And the week before that, it was me and Rachel.
Got somebody different.
Yeah.
A male voice on the podcast.
Kind of crazy.
Cool. So last week you all hit on John 9. Mm-hmm. Jesus healed a blind man. Pharisees were kind of tripping off that. And this kind of launches us into a whole dialogue in John 10.
Yep.
This week. So yeah, where are we at?
So this week we are only focusing on verses 1 through 21 because there's so much in John 10 that we can't even talk about all of it. And so this first part is what is typically labeled as the passage about the good shepherd. And so a lot of times we read John 10, 1 through 21 as like this standalone thing, as like, you know, it's not related to anything. It's just like something that Jesus did and they wrote it down. Thank you so much for writing it down, gospel writers. But we don't think about what's happening around this. And what's really crazy is that the passage that we read from last week is actually what is leading us into this passage of Jesus speaking. And he's actually talking to the Pharisees because the Pharisees have been questioning every single person. They've been questioning this guy who got healed. They've been questioning his parents. Mm-hmm. And they're now questioning Jesus. And this is Jesus's response. And so we can't not think about John 9 when we go into John 10, because John 9 is the only reason we get John 10 in the first place. So it's kind of crazy that we got to read these two passages in conjunction with each other.
Yeah.
Conjunction, kind of crazy big word. I didn't even mean to say that.
Yeah.
But it's really cool because as we go into John 10, he talks about thieves and robbers and how they don't have good intentions for the sheep that they're there. And what he's really doing is adding the Pharisees, like, hey guys, like, just so you know, you are the thieves and robbers. And then he talks about the shepherd who is incredible, who comes in by the gate. He's a gentleman. That's what Jean Parr always says around CSF. He says, Jesus is a gentleman. He never barges in, but waits at the door and knocks. And as a gentleman, if he says he's going to come into our lives, he'll open up the door, or we'll open up the door, and he'll be completely there for us. We don't have to worry about a thing when it comes to Jesus. And so he talks about how the good shepherd is good. He's never going to take advantage of us. He's never going to hurt us or harm us. But the thieves and the robbers are completely self-interested. And so they will hurt and harm people because they don't really care about the sheep, but yeah, Jesus cares about the sheep. And so that's kind of the whole entire point of this passage. Like, there's not a lot of like crazy extra fluff. It really is Jesus just honing in on the message that he is the good shepherd that lays down his life for the sheep.
Yeah. Love it. Well, cool. So as you dove into this scripture, as you kind of dove deep on John 10, what rose to the surface? What got you fired up about this scripture?
Yeah. The craziest thing that I found while preparing for this week was a YouTube video, which sounds really funny because you'd think I'd be talking about the scripture, but trust me, we're going to get there. Don't even worry about it. But as I was reading commentary on this week, it was talking about how there are shepherds in real life. Like people in the time and day of Jesus would have completely understood this because they'd seen it with their own eyes. But we don't see this with our own eyes because we live in America and most of us don't live on a sheep farm. And so we don't know that when a shepherd calls out to his sheep, the sheep come. And if anyone else tries to talk to the sheep do not come. And so I literally looked up on YouTube, shepherd calling sheep, and y'all will be shocked. You have to go look it up because it really is just crazy that when they had like this like group of people who were like there, it looks like they're like maybe touring the Holy Land or something like that. And so these people are doing the calls that the shepherd does for the sheep, and the sheep are not coming. Like they're not even like lifting their heads from the ground. Like they're just like grazing and like totally about their own business. But as soon as the shepherd comes up to the scene and he does the call, literally every single sheep is like, sorry, what? And they immediately start doing whatever the shepherd is telling them to do. I mean, it's like actually crazy. And so then when I was reading this passage in light of watching that video, I was like, okay, that means that if Jesus is saying that we're the sheep and he is our shepherd, that means that we intrinsically know what the shepherd's voice sounds like. And you might be thinking, okay, no, actually I don't, because I keep asking God to like speak to me or like, you know, help me to hear his voice and I'm not hearing anything. Yeah. But I think that that's even a challenge for us to like dig in deeper, because he's telling us in this passage that we intrinsically know what his voice sounds like. And so that means spending time with him and asking him to reveal what his voice sounds like, which is crazy.
Yeah, that's awesome. Before we move on, there's just a couple of things I think you've hit on here that are just good, like things for how you read scripture in general.
Yeah.
I think the context piece of hitting like John 10 and John 9 is really good, of like, you got to know like where you're at. And I think read even around the scripture, I think is a good way of, I don't know, contextualizing, and I think can inform the scripture that you're reading.
Yeah.
So yeah, read before, read after. And then also I think that that piece about like understanding the audience it was written to, because the whole sheep analogy doesn't hit unless you understand anything about sheep.
Yeah.
So I think those are two good, just like even broad level, guides on like how to read scripture well. And yeah, that's interesting that like intrinsically we know the Father's voice, but it feels like there's some things, whether it's just like culturally or like, you know, how we're formed, where it just like erodes at that ability to intrinsically hear the Father's voice.
Yeah.
So what does it look like to discern, you know, the Father's voice versus, you know, the thieves and the robbers?
Yeah. I think that this is the biggest thing that I realized while writing this week of curriculum, because the reason that I wrote this week was because in May, I had a really crazy experience where I, at this point, have kind of figured out what the Lord sounds like to me, how he speaks to me. And in May, I had this really weird experience where this thought just came through so clearly that sounded the way that I hear the Lord. And after praying about it with my community and reading scripture, I found out that it was actually Satan speaking. It wasn't the Lord.
Wow.
And so the way that I had heard the Lord, like Satan had mimicked the way that I hear the Lord. But then there were this, these little small parts of how the narrative that Satan was speaking actually unraveled. And it was mainly through scripture that I was reading. And this is the scripture that made it fall apart, was when I read the sheep know my voice, is when it fell apart. And so what I found was that going to scripture is how we find out what the Lord's voice sounds like. Like
good.
He gave us a whole entire book of how he speaks to people. Like we can read in Exodus how he spoke to Moses, and we can read in Daniel how he spoke to Daniel, and we can read in John how he spoke to Jesus and how Jesus spoke to people. We know how the Lord speaks if we read about it. And the more that we read about it, the more we're going to know what his voice sounds like.
Yeah.
That's what we have to do. And so I think a lot of us think like, okay, it's intrinsic to us. Like I'll just like discover it somehow. It's like, yes. And also he's given us a whole entire book that helps us to find out what that is.
Mm. Yeah. And one of my favorite parts as I was reading through John 10 is like, once we are able to like do the work of knowing our Father's voice. Like it says, like, not only do the sheep like ignore the voices of the thieves and the robbers, but like they actively run the other way.
Yeah.
So like if we know the Father's voice, then like we know everything that isn't the Father's voice. And we know that like we've got to run from it and run to wherever the Father is.
Yeah. That's so good. Truly.
Well, cool. So as we go into this week, as we dig into John 10, and even maybe even coming out of groups this week, what would you say is like a practical application out of John 10?
Yeah. I mean, number one, read scripture more. If you read scripture, you're going to know what his voice sounds like. Absolutely. That's a big thing. But I think a lot of times we rely on ourselves a lot when we're doing things. And so what would it look like for you to go out on campus when you're walking to your class? I know a lot of us listen to songs, yep,
podcast. Are you on the way to class now?
Yeah, maybe you're listening to us right now. Talk to you. Hey, how are you?
Hope the weather's nice. Hope it's not raining.
Yeah, exactly. Or snowing, honestly. But I just think what would be so cool is to practice hearing the Lord's voice while you walk on campus. Look at the people around you. You pass by people every single day that are hurting, and you pass by people every single day who have real problems that they really need a savior to solve. And maybe they don't know who God is. And so what would it look like for you to walk on campus and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you who you need to be praying for and what you need to be praying for them for? And maybe that looks like you see a person and you're like, wow, I really feel like I need to pray for their dad. Who knows?
Yeah.
Maybe you'll see a person and you're like, wow, I really need to pray for physical healing for them. I don't know, but you can pray for those things. And sometimes the Holy Spirit might even ask you to like actually talk to that person and ask them if you can pray for them. And so just like literally giving the Holy Spirit your walk and saying like, this is your walk. You've put me in this place. And so I want to hear your voice in practice. And you can even tell people like, I'm just practicing listening to God and being obedient. And you can go pray for people, or you can just pray in your head either way. I just think that that would be a crazy way to like hone in on how we hear the shepherd's voice.
Yeah. I think that can even extend to, you know, really any area of our life. I think that in some ways, like just learning the Father's voice well, is just like being willing to ask,
yeah,
you know, like, Lord, what are you saying right now? And, or, you know, why am I in this place? Or why am I with this person? Or, you know, I don't know. I find myself doing that, especially in those moments where I'm someone who likes to have my day like really planned out.
Yep.
And so like, if there's any like kind of awkward, like interruption, so to speak, then I'm like, well, okay, what are you doing here, God? Like, why, you know, why this person, why this thing? And, I don't know. I find that he often is faithful to answer those questions when we're just curious what he's up to and where he's leading us. So,
yeah, I even think too, like a lot of times when I am, you know, a lot of times when I do something that I feel like the Lord's leading me in, that I feel like I'm walking in obedience, most of the time, there are times where the Lord comes through very clearly and he's like, you need to do this. But most of the time it comes from me saying, hey, Lord, what do you want to do right now? What are you trying to, do you want me to pray for someone? What do you want me to do? And that's when I receive what he wants me to do and I have to go do it, you know? Yeah. And so being brave and courageous to ask the Lord what he wants you to do.
Yeah. Or even just realizing that he always wants to do something.
Yeah, always.
So
it's if we're listening that we get to be a part of it. And it's so sweet when you get to be a part of it.
Love that.
So,
well, cool. Is there anything else that these freshmen need to know before heading into shift group this week?
No, I think that's it.
Guys,
I think
you're ready.
Have great convos.
Excellent. Well, enjoy John 10. Enjoy the Good Shepherd. Thank you for having me as your guest host. And have a great group. And we'll catch you next week.
See ya.